Well, good afternoon, or welcome, everybody. It's not quite afternoon yet. I just walked by the kitchen. I could smell lunch cooking, and so I think that's what started it for me. And welcome to everyone on Zoom. I know there are some people who, at the last minute, became unfortunately sick and unable to come. So I can see a couple of them on the Zoom, so welcome to them particularly. Hope you get better soon. Can people on Zoom hear me? Just give me a thumbs up. Pardon?
I'm seeing some folks say no sound.
Oh, how about now? Sound? Yes, okay. Yeah, somehow the little button got pushed, little bright red button got pushed, so like we're okay. And people in the back can hear me? Okay, great, thank you. Well, I think as almost everyone here knows, we, for this practice period, have been reflecting on the Vimalakirti Sutra. And some of you have heard some of the talks, or maybe all the talks, and maybe some of you don't know much about the talks at all. So just let me set the frame for those people who perhaps don't know. Vimalakirti was a layperson living at the time of the Buddha, very famous for his Dharma practice and study, and famous for his use of skillful means, which I'll talk about not today, but another day. And in the sutra, he decides he's going to become sick because that way he can use this sickness as a way to help teach the Dharma to many people. And so he has this little room and cleans it all out, so it's just the bed and him. And he's sick, and then the Buddha, through his miraculous powers, understands that Vimalakirti, his dear friend and student, is sick, and thus begins the whole sutra. He begins by asking people to go visit him, and then eventually many people go visit him. So last night, when we were gathered here in the Zendo after our dinner and things settled down, I really thought this is kind of like Vimalakirti's sick room. Because at one moment in the sutra, the room holds an ill Vimalakirti, right, by himself. And then in another moment, it becomes like a great Buddha hall, with a large assembly all listening to a series of Dharma talks and Dharma encounters that go on. And the room that we're in right now, at one moment it's a gym. We could be playing basketball, Norman's favorite game, or we could be doing volleyball, or something like that. But in this moment, it's a Zendo. A whole and complete, with many bodhisattvas here engaged in practice, strong practice, wholehearted practice. Now, Vimalakirti's sick room actually has a very special place in our Zen tradition. Apparently, in the 7th century, an envoy sponsored by the Chinese throne made a pilgrimage to northern India. And the envoy was shown the ruins of that famous sick room. And the foundation measured 10 square feet, or 9.29 square meters. In Chinese, that space was known as Fengjiang. And in East Asia, as the sutra became well known, and it was very popular in China and Korea, Japan, this 10 square feet, or Pangjang in Chinese became known as the title or the name of Vimalakirti Sikh Room. Now, in time, as Chan or Zen temples developed and grew in China, and then, of course, Korea and Japan, this name became the name of the abbot's quarters. So in Japanese, for example, Fangjang is pronounced Hojo. And today the term is still used for the abbot, Hojo-san, Hojo-sama, Mr. Abbot, or Ms. Abbot, as well as the residence. That's where they live. So from our conventional view, this room that we're in right now is much larger than Vimalakirti's room, much larger than 10 square feet. But I think from another point of view, it's exactly Hojo. It's exactly 10 square feet. So in this Hojo, in this Vimalakirti's room, what are we doing? Sometimes a session is referred to as a retreat. But actually, that's not quite right. What we do here is, of course, we do, in a sense, step back from the busyness of our daily life. But that, I think, is about as much retreating as we do. The meaning of the characters session tell a different story. There are two ways to write session using Chinese characters or kanji. One begins with the character setsu, which literally means to collect or to gather. And the second character is heart or mind, sin, shin. So during these days of zazen and the supportive silence that each of us finds our way to slow down the jumpiness of our mind and gather our mindfulness into this present moment. Seshin, gather the mind, gather the heart. But the other way to write Seshin uses a different first character, still pronounced the same, Setsu, but the meaning is to touch. And again, this is added to the character Shin or heart. So the meaning or the implication is that we touch our heart mind. But it's not our everyday busy heart mind, it's really our greater heart mind, the one that is not busy, to refer to one of the great koans of our tradition. And this great heart mind we're usually not aware of because of our endless fountain of distracting thoughts and emotional turmoil that we experience. So that's what we're doing. We're touching the most intimate part of ourselves. We're gathering all those bits and pieces that seem to fly away throughout the day, settling, allowing clarity to arise. Some of you, I think, have attended many session, and for some, this may be the first or maybe the second time. But regardless how many times you have been here, please take some time to affirm why you are here. After all, you know, you could be binge watching The Babysitter's Club on Netflix or Kids in the Hall on Amazon or something like that. Please reflect on what brought you here. Are you motivated towards something or maybe away from something? maybe a bit of both. There is no right answer, other than at least for us to be somewhat conscious of our intentions. Why are you here? And you may find that during the session, your intention may change. It may clarify, change shape. So you may pause now and again during this time and silently check, what is my intention? And this is really important, especially, you know, in a few days in session when you get crabby because the food's not quite hot enough or it's a little bit late or some other little thing you'll notice. Why are you here? And also, take some time to really, particularly this first day, be aware of your body and your heart, to notice the tiredness that you feel, the physical discomfort, irritation, excitement, worry, doubts, repetitive thoughts, those kind of things. Just notice what is present for you now, during this first full day of our session. It will help your practice to trust the container that we are in now that has been so carefully developed by our ancestors over hundreds of years. Zazen, the shared silence, the formal meals, listening to Dharma talks, meetings with the teachers, rest times, formal tea, all of this is practice. And of course, doubts will arise. The body will get tired, maybe fidgety, the urge to repeatedly check your phone messages if you can. That may come. Thoughts like, oh God, what am I doing here? Should have stayed home. Maybe you'll think, oh, this is too hard. If I just get in the car and go home, maybe no one will notice. On the other hand, this may be a really easy ride for you. Who knows? There's no way to tell right now. But I can guarantee, I believe, that you will become more intimate with yourself. And with that intimacy will come a degree of understanding, of acceptance, and of letting go. You will touch your heart-mind. This container, and particularly the schedule, I was thinking, really helps us to be in harmony with each other. It helps us to be really become a community of sangha, practitioners practicing together. So please honor the schedule as best you can as a gift to yourself, but also as a gift to others. Dogen and our other Zen ancestors realized that we cannot do this practice alone. We cannot do this practice on our own. Zen practice is itself a together practice. So within the container, we do Zazen together. We do Kinhin together, the walking meditation. We chant and bow together. We eat odyoki meals together. Work together. And over the session, we become one body. So in this way, we come to the insight that the individual me is really only partial. That there is also something beyond that sense of me. Now, there are times when it is appropriate to take up a hermit practice. People go off and do solo retreats. But this is not the time. This is the time to give and receive the support of Sangha, these people that are sitting around you, to silently share our insights, our sufferings, and the beauty of this place. One of the great themes of the Vimalakirti Sutra is compassion. So let's remember to bring our compassion forward during this time that we are spending here together by acknowledging that each one of us is struggling in some way. Although you will not see the suffering of the person sitting beside you, each person is struggling in some way. Each person, I believe, is trying their best to do the practice. Judgments, criticisms will pop up, of course, especially when we're tired, or we're hungry, or we're in some kind of discomfort. But when you notice them arising within you, please try to return to a place of compassion for yourself. We often forget this. In our practice, compassion is also for you. We need to take care of ourselves. You need to take care of you. Just as you would a dear friend. And, of course, we need compassion for others, especially when we feel, oh, God, that person's so aggravating. They're chewing with their mouth open. They're doing something. Too much noise. Or maybe you're just angry at the stupid schedule. Again, just try to return to a place of open-hearted compassion. So within all these practices that we do, maybe the kind of core practice is the practice, of course, of our zazen, of our meditation. In the Vimalakirti Sutra, we learn that, of course, Vimalakirti was a layman, but he also maintained concentration, mindfulness, and meditation in order to sustain those around him who were mentally, emotionally troubled. Vimalakirti said, meditation is the pure land of the bodhisattva. So I'd like to say just a few words about the zazen and maybe give a few suggestions for you to consider how we may enter into this first day of our session. So to begin, I'm going to read a few words of Dogen. Some of you have heard these words many times before, I believe. So this is from Dogen's essay called Fukan Zazengi. And he writes, an upright posture is important. And I think he means whether on a bench or a cushion, although they didn't have those things in those days, or a chair. But allow your body to be upright, but not stiff. So here's Dogen's actual words. You should have your robes and belt loosely bound and arranged in order. Then place your right hand on your left leg, your left palm upwards, on your right palm, thumb, and your left palm facing upwards on your right palm, thumb tips touching. Thus, sitting upright in correct bodily posture, be sure your ears are on a plane with your shoulders and your nose in line with your navel. Place your tongue against the front roof of your mouth with teeth and lips both gently closed. Your eyes should always remain slightly open, and you should breathe gently through your nose. And once you have adjusted your posture, take a deep breath, inhale, exhale, rock your body right and left, and settle into a gentle, immobile sitting position. Think of not thinking. How do you think of not thinking? Non-thinking. Well, let me just say a few more things about that. I think once you've taken your upright posture, it can be helpful to just briefly scan your body from your head to your feet, just noticing any tension, relaxing the shoulders, etc. I often notice that my face has tension around the eyes, especially, sometimes the forehead. So it can help to kind of squeeze them a little bit and let them relax, let the whole face relax. And you can try that with any part of your body that does feel tense. Tense the shoulders a little bit and then relax them. Really settle. Let your body be at ease. And then in that, this way, having brought mindfulness to the body, you can bring mindfulness to the breath. As Dogen says, you know, being aware of the in and out movements of your breath, no need to have any kind of special breath. Just be attentive to whatever breath appears. In, out, rising, falling. Some people find it helpful to count silently on each out-breath from 1 to 10, then starting over again. Some people find counting extremely annoying and don't want to do it. That's fine too. There is no set technique. Each person needs to experiment to find what helps them to stay in this present moment. And of course, it's always helpful to check in with a teacher for some suggestions. And you may find that counting or maybe a short phrase or something helps at first, but then becomes unnecessary. And if that's the case, just let go of the counting. Follow the rhythm of your breath with a clear and wakeful mind. But here's an important point. Please take an interest in your breath. Notice the many sensations that arise in the breath at each moment. How it changes so subtly. Here are some words by Suzuki Roshi, Suzuki Shinryu, a Japanese Soto priest who first brought the practice that we do, this particular school from Japan into the United States and North America. He writes, "When we inhale, the air comes in to the inner world. When we exhale, the air goes out to the outer world. The inner world is limitless. The outer world is also limitless. When we say inner world or outer world, that's not quite right. Actually, there is just one whole world. In this limitless world, our throat is like a swinging door. The air comes in and goes out like someone passing through a swinging door. If you think I breathe, the I is extra. There is no you to say I. What we call I is just a swinging door, which moves when we inhale and when we exhale. It just moves, that's all. When your mind is pure and calm enough to follow this movement, there is nothing. No I, no world, no mind, nor body, just a swinging door. Of course, the mind will wander. Unwanted thoughts, feelings, memories, sensations, complaints, those kind of things will arise. And our practice then is just gently return to the breath and the body as soon as we've noticed that we have forgotten our basic commitment to be present. No ruminations, we just come back to being alive in this body, in the breath. So here's a few more words of advice from Shinryu Suzuki. When you're practicing Zazen, do not try to stop your thinking. Let it stop by itself. If something comes into your mind, let it come, let it go out. It will not stay long. When you try to stop your thinking, it means you are bothered by it. Do not be bothered by anything. It appears as if something comes from outside your mind, but actually it's only the waves of your mind. And if you're not bothered by the waves, gradually they will become calmer and calmer. And it's true. Gradually, calmer and calmer. And at some point, the concentration or the focus on your breath or whatever your practice is may appear superfluous. And there's just the experience of sitting, moment to moment, experiencing this sitting with quiescent wakefulness, which is fluid, kind of natural, an open experiencing of your life. Remember those last words that I read about Dogen? Think of not thinking. How do you think of not thinking, non-thinking? Well, I think in those sentences, although they seem pretty bizarre, he gently and carefully guides us away from the sense of doing. I'm doing Zazen. I'm going to make my mind go quieter. Instead, he shifts us to a mind of simply being. Being with the moment, being with the breath, being with the whole body. Here's a story, a Zen story, of the famous Sherto, who composed the merging of difference and unity that we chant regularly here. Anyway, so this is a conversation he had with his student, Yaoshan, who later becomes also one of the great Zen teachers. So, here we go. Once Sherto came upon Yaoshan, who was sitting in Zazen. Oh, Yaoshan's a good student, sitting in Zazen. What are you doing? Sherto asked. Yaoshan said, I'm not doing anything. Sherto said, well, then you're sitting idly. Yaoshan answered, if I were sitting idly, I would be doing something. Sherto said, so you say you're not doing anything. What is this not doing? And Yaoshan replied, not even the 10,000 sages know. So both Dogen and Yaoshan are pointing to something beyond our common understanding of mindfulness. So mindfulness has this aspect of doing, right? I am keeping my attention on my hands, on my breath, on my mantra. I'm keeping my attention there. I'm being mindful. But Dogen and Yaoshan are indicating to us something more subtle, the dropping away of the I, me, and mine, and with which we kind of reference all of our experience. This too is rather hard to explain, since everything that we think or feel or want is coming from some standpoint of myself, of me. I'm going to meditate. I will bring my awareness to my body, my feelings. I just don't think we can help it. We naturally begin from a self-conscious point of view in this practice, from a self-centric point of view. What Dogen asks us to do is a radical move from my experience to simply the flow of experience. To the spacious awareness of this moment. Awareness. In awareness, evaluating, discerning those things that we do throughout our daily life drop away if we're just aware. And what's left when that kind of discerning part of our thinking drops away is a field of experience. Just here, this present moment. There is a deep knowing when we are simply present. But this knowing is not static, it flows with the ever-changing sensations of our experience of that moment. This knowing is free of labels. It's not static in any way. Hard to describe. Whatever your practice is, whether you're counting breath or following breath, or maybe you have a phrase you use, at some point, it is really important to relax. And I don't mean like relax on a couch, relax. I mean to let go of making an effort with some kind of goal in your mind. Otherwise, you will just keep getting in your own way. And this relaxing, though, is also pretty difficult because we're conditioned, right, to strive, to do our best, to get rid of something, to get something. And this, of course, extends to I'm going to do zazen, I'm going to awaken, etc. And Dogen, though, helps us here again. He describes this deep relaxing as the dropping off of body and mind. He says, quoting from the Genjo Koan, another text he wrote, "To forget the self is to be actualized by the myriad things. When actualized by the myriad things, your body and mind, as well as the body and minds of others, drop away. No trace of realization remains, and this no trace continues endlessly. To study the self is to forget the self." This echoes Dogen's think of not thinking. We need to forget ourselves. So Dogen's view shifts us from cultivating mindfulness, I'm doing this, to simply an open awareness. He encourages us to allow each moment to arise as it will, rather than us trying to direct and orchestrate it. In awareness, there is a measure of freedom and spaciousness that arises. The world becomes more vivid. In some ways, it's like opening your eyes when awakening or turning away from the computer screen and looking out your window to see the trees waving in the wind. They don't wave because you looked. To forget the self is to be enlightened by the myriad things, Dogen tells us. The trees just wave in the wind, but the sense of trees waving and the observer, when we are in awareness, drops away. Just waving. Dogen reminds us there, when we enter this kind of place, there is not even a sense of being special or different or of being enlightened or awakened in some way. He says no trace of realization remains. And this no trace continues endlessly. Now, all of this may sound pretty lofty, or maybe it sounds bizarre. But the practice of Zazen is being with the feeling of aliveness, an aliveness that is not bounded by the stories you tell yourself about your life. Dogen refers to the practice of Zazen as shikantaza. Maybe you've heard that word before too, which is usually translated as just sitting. Shikantaza, just sitting. But Dogen specifically taught that Zazen is beyond sitting or laying down. Shikantaza does mean we take an upright posture, but fundamentally it is a practice of being aware, just present. So perhaps a better translation of shikantaza would be just aware. So for this week, let us practice with just aware. When we do our kinhin, walking to the dining hall, chopping vegetables, doing our tasks, just aware. So please, dear friends, over the coming days, let us support one another. Through our silence, through our gentle caring, as we calm our turbulent minds and we open our hearts and see what's there. As I said last night, who are you? When those stories you tell yourselves about yourself are no longer there, who are you? Let us, each one of us, find out together. Thank you.